welcome to OK Sis Podcast.
Hi, sisters. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Scout.
And we are sisters IRL.
I'm the older one.
Yes, Scout, we know.
Here at OK Sis, we believe women are multifaceted.
Which is why you can expect sisterly banter on a wide range of topics such as pop culture, our entrepreneurial journeys, and mental health routines.
We promise it'll be informative.
And silly.
As long as you don't get too loud, Mads.
Welcome to the sisterhood. Hello, and welcome back to OK Sis Podcast. My name is Maddie.
Hello, and I am Scout Sobel, and I am Maddie's older sister.
The only title that you need, really.
Here, it's the only title that I need, but I have other titles in other places that are potentially more important at times, but it is
Let me name them. These are your proclaimed personality traits. MILF to be.
Yes.
Upcoming MILFhood.
Yes.
Emotional entrepreneur.
Yes.
And Jurassic Park stan.
Yes. I'm also a wife.
Fan club president.
I'm also a wife.
She's a wifey.
And I am a boss to 6 team members.
I know. We were at your baby shower. I don't know. Did we recap the baby shower?
We did not recap the baby shower. Let's do it real quick. But
let's do a little recap because, I mean, it makes sense because we're talking all babies, all the babies today.
Yes. I do like to throw in there that I have a team of 6 because sometimes that very large defining factor of my day-to-day goes unrecognized sometimes. Not unrecognized, untalked about.
Untalked about, yeah. It's a little hush-hush. Yes. It's kind of like a, Scout has how many employees, holy shit. Yep. Oh, we're on the payroll. So we were at your baby shower, we as in me and my boyfriend Benjun, and we look over and there's just this like swarm of hot girls who are like looking hot, you know?
Yes.
And we're like, okay, I know some of those are Scout's agency because I know, you know, I know Danielle, obviously know Heather, but this whole swarm, and we were like, wait, those are all on Scout's payroll. And we were in shock and in awe, and it was so inspiring. And I just like, damn, like to know that you have that many people on the payroll is a feat of itself.
Aww.
And I applaud you, Scout. And I'm excited for that for me, but I cannot imagine it yet.
Well, 2 of those people, because there was a big group, 2 of them no longer work for me, but Scout's agency is such a family that when people move on, they're still in my life. So they still showed up. But yeah, it's pretty crazy. Like I think about it and it's become a muscle, obviously, that I've strengthened over the last 4 years. But sometimes I sit there and I'm like, holy fuck, like I have a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, it's very intense. You can't think about it too much.
You can't think, you know, because sometimes when I'm spiraling in anxiety, I'm like, I got a mortgage, I have an office lease, 6 team members and a baby coming. Okay.
And a bebe.
So and a bebe. I went from blacking out at Maddie's birthday and karaoke a couple years ago to this. Like adulthood came real fast, baby.
Yeah, that pipeline was quick.
It was
and,
very quick.
We did document all of it on this podcast. So can you believe that?
Can you believe that? Let's talk about my baby shower because holy shit, did I come in hot. I really did. Like my outfit was fire. What do you think?
Your outfit was fire. The titties were out to play. The tees were out for the bees. Oh, this is, why didn't I say that? The tees were out for the bees. And in this scenario,
babies
means baby.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I guess tees only come out for 2 bees, right? Babies and boys, if you're a straight female.
Sure. So yeah, the tees were just out, I think for everyone really, to have a gander. And then the outfit was peacock vibes and it looked fantastic.
Yeah, it was so fun. We had mostly family and friends over at my dad's house. Our mom did the decoration and it was just like a nice bagel brunch. Well, you know, dad went over top of the food as always he does, but it was just so nice to see everybody and have everybody over dad's house, the childhood house that we grew up in, and all of the gifts that I received. Now I'm like in total nesting mode and I'm organizing the nursery and all that, but there's like, I feel like there should be more to recount about the baby shower, but there really wasn't. It was just like everyone hung out.
Well, because we didn't do like, we didn't really do like games or anything like that. Wasn't really the vibe. It was just kind of a gathering of people close and near and dear to you. You know, the color spectrum of the outfits that came through that door. Like, usually we are neutral queens and something just sparked. Like, every person was in a bright ass color and it felt great. Like, it was a really good celebration of life and celebration of the girl that's about to pop out of your vagine and probably won't be wearing color for much more, you know, for the foreseeable future, but it was a nice little, oh, there it is, a pop.
It was. You were in color too. You were in red.
I was in that deep, deep red, baby.
Yeah, us and our stepsisters did an ombre. It went red, bright pink, light pink, white between the four of us.
Right, right.
Anyways, let's talk about this episode. There's like really not much to recount about the baby shower except the epic photos that I took. So go check them out on Instagram at Scouts Hobel because I've never looked better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Look at me getting some compliments.
Oh, it was good.
Alyssa, pull this for me to always remember. Okay, we had.
I love how we talked to Alyssa through the podcast. Listeners, let us know if this you like this because we like to talk to Alyssa so we don't forget to cut things for the podcast.
Because we literally.
What else we like to talk to Alyssa? It's like a little treasure. It's like a little treasure for her.
Yeah, it's like a treasure hunt. Did she catch all of our little, you know, messages?
Treasures.
Okay, sure. This episode was amazing. Right.
This episode is so delightful. We had Miss Jenny Drew on the pod, and she is the founder of All the Babies. Look, I don't have a baby, so I wasn't a consumer. Either does she. I was not a consumer of hers, but then she did, and she recounts all this and the kind of pivot that she made. She went into sweatsuits, and as anyone who has listened to this podcast knows, I am the queen of sweatsuits. Sweatsuits are my personality trait, yada, yada. It's one of my brand pillars. And she really perfected it during the pandemic and made these matching sweatsuits for moms and their babies, but also non-moms. So I will be getting a sweatsuit and I'm so excited. And I've just, you know, I really admire her as an entrepreneur and as a woman, and just she's so fucking rad. And we only talk to rad people on this podcast. So it made perfect sense to invite her on. And yeah, we got into a lot about starting a business, the mental blocks about it, why she felt so compelled to create this specific brand. And it was just a delight. It was silly and it was beautiful. What do you think, Scout?
Yeah, there were some really good insights there about entrepreneurial mindsets, her startup story, all the things. And stay tuned for when the baby comes. Me, Mads, and our baby girl will be taking a photo shoot in all of the baby's matching sweatsuits. So it's going to be epic. So with that, let us welcome Jenny Drew to OK Sis Podcast.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh my God, wait.
I have my dog with us. Oh. That's okay.
Okay, so Jenny, I've been following you for quite some time and I was there when you got the dog and
she was there. She was in the room.
I was in the room. I was, you know, drooling over the dog, like the cutest. What's its name again?
Olio, like olive oil.
Olio. Oh. It's,
I know
how, like, oh my God, I can't. It's just the cutest. Well, so when you first got it though, Olio was red.
Brown,
like a brownish red. And like, that is my dream. He grew a little out of it, but it's still adorable. But yes, it was like my dream dog, Olio.
Oh, okay. I think I remember you getting Olio because I got a million fucking DMs of photos.
Yeah.
Like a long time ago. And she's like, this is my dream dog. And I said, well, why don't you just DM her and ask her where she got it? And I think she did that.
I think I don't know what happened, but Olio, we love you. Thanks for joining us.
I think she was scared to DM you. You were like, I can't just ask that. I was like, ask her where she got the fucking dog.
Do you want to know?
Yeah.
Craigslist.
No, 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 no. Maddie, I will not allow it. I will not allow it. I'm sorry. Well, I love Olio, but I went through a very launch process with my dog to get a good quality dog, and Craigslist can be very, very scary for dogs.
It's scary. That I swear we saved her life. Like, truly, I think that we were part of those Craigslist scams where they dye your dog. You know, that's what they talk about to get more money.
Oh my God.
For the brown.
Yeah.
Golden. They told us that she's a golden doodle. Like, are you kidding?
That's a Bichon. No, that's a Bichon.
That's not a golden doodle. literally a poodle.
Yeah, that's the problem with Craigslist. I went through this whole thing because I was going to get a multi-poo or a golden doodle or whatever, and I was looking on Craigslist, and my friend stopped me. It's like different if you adopt a pet, but if you're going to purchase a pet, there's like a whole thing. We went to a breeder. They had to be AKC or whatever registered. We checked out their documents to make sure there's like all these ethical breedings. So it was like a whole fucking process. So, but the problem is that if you get like a golden doodle or a multi-poo or something like that, there are no ethical breeding standards because it's mixing two breeds of dogs with one, and therefore you can never know if the dog was breeded properly or in a... I'm an expert, essentially, is what I'm saying.
People are doing shady things in the dog community is what I'm hearing.
Oh yeah.
From this situation. Okay. Just wanted to throw that out there. Love Olio. Okay, we can move swiftly along from the dog chatter. Jenny, first of all, love the sweatshirt, love the whole vibe. You're just like an ultimate cool girl. I don't know if like people say this to you often.
And I'm the older embarrassed. I'm embarrassing Maddie is what's happening here in this intro. Okay.
I love this podcast already. I have to say, I feel like I've known you guys for my whole life.
That's our specialty. We make you just like fit like the third sister just coming on in hot.
I mean, we all look alike.
Yeah, we really do. And you're killing the curtain bangs. Now... tell me about the curtain bangs, because
something we cannot do.
Something we cannot do. My hair is kind of wet right now, but it's like I'm trying to get back to the curly vibe, and just like I don't know if curtain bangs are my thing or it would be what I'm looking for. Do you know what I mean?
Nope. I know what you mean, but I have to say I've got your girl. I have, like, I've been getting the same haircut 4 years by the same woman. I mean, my hair is a mess right now, but it's like all very perfect layers, and then she just throws these bad boys in. She's amazing. Her name is Alyssa. She works at the Harbor Salon in Silver Lake. Highly recommend. I followed her to every salon she's gone to. I've been seeing her since I was 9. Refuse to get my hair cut by anybody else.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to Silver Lake after this is what I'm hearing here.
Okay. I'm sure Alyssa's great, but Maddie, don't do that. It's not going to work.
I'm getting curtain bangs. I don't care what you say.
You think it is. I need to save you real quick. That's not going to work. So I'm sure Alyssa could do other great things for you though.
She can, but I do think it could look good. You know, I hope so.
Guys, I'm doing it. Like, I'm done. Like, I need something. I need a radical change. And if it looks shitty, I'm going to blame you, Jenny. And that's it. And that's just like how it's going to go. But
that's,
I think
okay,
it's going to like make my face look a foul. You know, when you like are going in for a haircut, you're like, I'm going to look so hot after that. Like, they are just going to transform my whole face.
How many times have you actually left and felt so hot?
Zero.
Yeah.
But we haven't met Alyssa. So
true.
I always feel hot when I leave Alyssa, I have to be honest.
There you go. All right. All the girlies listening in LA right now are schlepping over to Silver Lake.
I'm never going to get an appointment with Alyssa again. Shit.
Blowing up her spot. Okay. We're going to talk about all the babies, of course.
It's okay. You just hit me with everything. We don't even need to like talk about it.
We have a whole like roster of things. I want to just ask, first, mazel tov, you got engaged.
Mazel,
like just you and your fiance. Precious, just precious angelic love that I can just see like coming through the Instagram. You know what I mean? Like I can feel it.
This is a podcast where we ask no questions and we just tell you.
No, we're just saying things about your life that we love.
I feel like this is the best day ever. I'm like really feeling good.
I love it. So tell me a little bit about just that experience. And I know you were in Portugal. You kind of were traveling around. Yeah.
You know my life better than
I do. Yeah, this is like a little creepy. I'm sorry. Like
not at all. I'm here. You guys are teaching me all the things. So yeah, we had made a plan to go to Europe for 2 months this summer because we were supposed to go to Greece in August with his family. And when it came to booking flights, we were like, I'm not trying to do a 20-hour, two-stop, like, you know, five-hour layover in the middle of Chicago. Like, I want to just go to Greece from an hour-long plane ride. And my boyfriend works for this incredible electric car company called Rivian. They're doing great things. Highly recommend checking them out. But it was kind of like his last summer to work remote, I think. And I was having some transitions in work, and I was like, oh, I can, this is like a great way to just separate, to work from Europe, to maybe like just get everything figured out. So we were like, we don't need to just go to Greece from LA. Let's be in Europe all summer. So truly nothing was planned besides the one-way ticket to Paris. And because that's where we met, that's where his family lives. Stayed with his family for a week, like got kind of settled, because the work from Europe is not easy when the hours are so crazy. So we worked East Coast hours, 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. every day. So it wasn't like this sexy, exotic thing. Like we were on our computers from 2 p.m. to 10. So we got used to that. And then we loved it. So we would explore all day in Europe, and then we'd work all night all night. And then we'd go out to eat at like 11 p.m. and then we'd get drinks till 2 a.m. and then we'd do the whole thing all over again. And then we traveled all around. So it was like Paris to south of Portugal, where we got engaged, to, and Lisbon is the first place we ever said, I love you. Like that was the whole thing. And then it was Nice, because we had friends that had a house, you know, it was like, everything was just so Airbnb, planes, trains, and automobiles. Sounds very extravagant and spoiled. I like, I'm annoyed by myself, but it was, once you're in Europe, it's so cheap.
No, it's so cheap to go around. I know I've been dying to go to Portugal. I don't know how I have never been there. It feels like such a city that I would love, specifically, or I mean, Portugal is a country, but Lisbon specifically.
Oh my God. You guys have to go, right? Like, so affordable, so cool.
Yeah.
The vibes, the food, the people. Yeah. Like, honestly, I would have stayed there the whole summer if I could have.
There, it seems like there's been this exodus of young people to living either in Barcelona or Lisbon. Like, I don't know what's happening, but all these people I know are just like, oh, I'm going to move to Barcelona for a couple months, or like move to, I'm just going to like live in Lisbon. I'm like,
what? I don't know anyone.
Love this for you?
I don't know anyone.
Oh, if there's like LA Times articles coming out about California going to Lisbon.
Yeah. Scout, you're not like cool. So.
Oh, because I don't. Yeah. I don't know anyone that's moving to Europe.
You don't have like world traveler friends, you know, like I do apparently.
Oh,
but
yeah.
So everyone.
I mean, I'm not a traveler myself, so I guess I don't attract those folk.
This is true. This is true. You don't attract the folk. Okay. So
wait, I have a question. How many days into this trip did he propose? Because I could imagine traveling with the ring and keeping you from seeing it would be a very anxiety inducing thing if it's not like you go from one place. Do you know what I'm saying? The other day, my cousin looked at me and asked if I got a treatment in my hair. I said no, but I am taking Nutrafol. You see, sisters, I had some shedding issues postpartum when it came to my hair, so I made it my mission to support my hair growth and strengthen my hair. I mean, Mads, you saw my hair last time I was up in LA, and you even complimented me. Which, sisters, you know that when Mads compliments me, it's a big deal.
I do have to give this one to you, Scout. Your hair is looking thick, strong, and beautiful. When it comes to hair thinning, it's complicated. The problem is, it's actually much bigger than your hair alone. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health, and internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker and stronger hair.
Every morning after I eat breakfast, I take 4 pills, and it becomes a seamless addition to my morning routine. But the reason I decided to go with Nutrafol when supporting my hair health is that Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. Oh, also, Nutrafol makes the best Mother's Day present, especially for new moms. The perfect way to show them that you care about their postpartum support.
Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code OKSIS. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code OKAYSIS. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code OKSIS.
Totally. He had it in his backpack, like hidden behind his, like, because I'm not electronically savvy at all. So he hid it behind, like, the iPad and the things that I don't know how to work. Very smart. And he did it within 1 week of being on the trip. Thank God. Otherwise, I think he would have never done it. Like, I think it would have one of those rip the Band-Aid situations. But he did it on July 3rd. And 3 is a significant number to us because our like, main anniversary is October 3rd. So, you know, 3. Every 3.
There's a lot of symbolism. I love it.
Yeah, a lot of symbolism in this relationship. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. It's like numerology.
Yeah, I'm like, where did I say I love you? I think it was in my USC dorm.
I said I love you to my husband in your bedroom at Dad's house.
What the fuck?
I'm afraid.
Where was I?
We were older. You were at college. Oh. And we were spending the night there. And I think your bed was bigger or something. So we slept in your bedroom.
They made love in your bed and said, I love you, all in one go.
Beautiful. Have at it. My fucking childhood bed. Great. Like, good for you guys. Okay. So let's talk about all the babies because you are not a mother.
I'm not a mother.
You're not a mother. And that's great. That's great that you're not a mother. I am also not a mother. Scout is about to be a mother. So talk to us about this idea. Why create, you know, a baby line? In addition, I think the mother aspect, the matching aspect is so, like, oof, so scrumptious. Like, we were picking out our little sets and we were picking it out for her baby girl. And we were like, oh my God, we need to do a photo shoot of all three of us and be like, we found the third sister. Like, it's just going to be so special. So
literally, I was crying when I texted that. That was my idea. I was crying. Like, I just started bawling, imagining a photo of me and Mads, baby girl, all in matching. And then the caption being like, we found our third sister. Because my baby's like partially me and Maddie's baby. Like, then partially me and my
husband. Yeah, I call
her
my baby too. It's going to be my baby for sure.
I would do the same. Yeah. No, it's like, well, that's the whole point, right? Like, we want to make matching cool. We don't want to be this weird, kitschy, matching, culty vibe. It's like, no, we're here to make it cool and cozy. But really, it started in Paris. So again, I did my freshman year there through the USC transfer plan. And so I started in Paris. It was like the year they started this program at the American University of Paris. And I got there and I was like, I'm like fully going in on this experience. So immediately I Googled all of the like nannying jobs and I became a nanny the first week of these three French kids. I've always been a nanny like since I was too young to even be allowed to be a nanny. Like at 9, I was babysitting, you know, crazy. And I just fell in love with the quality of the pieces that the kids were wearing. And at the time, I didn't feel like LA had that. Like, I feel like there was really only a market for like very high end or very kind of like I pooped on mommy. And I'm just not, I don't want that. Yeah. You know, that's just me. If you love it, amazing. So I fell in love with that and I was like, there must be something here. Like, I want to do, because I've always loved clothing. I've always had a heart for that. And I've always had a heart for combining fashion with philanthropy. But I was like, how can I combine those two worlds? And then I was like, oh my God. Because as I was a nanny, I saw the kids just growing in front of my eyes. And I was like, babies outgrow their clothes so quickly. Like, that's our thing. That could be the model. So that was the initial spark. Then got to USC and I started talking about the idea to everyone. I was like, I'm going to start a baby brand that gives back to babies in need. Da, 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 da. And everyone's like, okay, whatever. You're not a mom. You're not qualified. Like all these things. And I had all of these internships that I swear just like led me to the golden ticket of starting a business. Cause I was at the Giving Keys, which employs people transitioning out of homelessness. And then I was at Marie Claire, which is fashion. And like, then I was at Tom's, which is the one for one model. And then I was a social media manager at Sweetgreen. So I was like learning all the ins and outs of like community and how to foster all of that. And then I was like graduating and suddenly I was like, ding, 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 ding. Like everything makes sense. Wear, grow, give. Like that's going to be our model. We're going to start with really cozy baby pieces that like I would want my future baby to wear. I'm going to partner with my mom because we need like a mother component, this mother-daughter duo, as I'm sure you guys know, that sister duo. It just like, it makes everything better. It tells the story. And craziest 360 is that when my mom was pregnant with me, she started a small batch baby brand too. So it was like, I guess I was in the womb being like, yeah, that's going to be me too one day. So beautiful full circle moment. And we just started super simply. I had no idea what I was doing. I actually declined a full-time job offer from Sweetgreen to come on as their community manager, which I don't recommend. You know, like after that, I had to end up working in retail. I worked in retail at Glossier and I like just to make ends meet while I was developing this business for a year because I was so gung-ho about it. And then I knew nothing about production, which you don't need to know. You just have to be connected to the right people. And I found all of my people. Suddenly it started with one Google search, like what's the best fabric? Oh, what's got certified organic cotton? Oh, I found this guy in Montebello. And then who led me here? So all of my people are here in LA, all family run factories, all super small batch, low impact dyes. Like I found the best quality for the price that we can give. I'm trying to kind of bridge the gap between like totally affluent and like also really bad quality. I just want it to be this, you know, I want to be as attainable as possible, but it's baby clothes are expensive to make, which I had no idea until I became in the industry.
That's amazing. So I want to talk about the business model you had said, the wear, grow, what was it?
Give. Wear, grow, give.
So what is that?
So basically, and it's actually a funny story. I was like, what, how are we going to be philanthropic with this whole, like babies outgrow their clothes. And I'm outside having coffee with my mom, just trying to figure out what like sets us apart. And she literally is like, oh my God. And she runs into the house and then comes like jumping up and down with a ink cartridge from her printer. And I'm like, what's happening here? Like, why are you so excited about this ink cartridge? And she was like, every time I get ink and then I run out of the ink, I send back the old ink, they recycle it, and then they send me a new ink. And I was like,
oh, that's really good.
Oh my God, genius. And then that's where I was like, wear, grow, give. Enjoy the moments that you're going to create in our cozies. Once you outgrow them, send them back to us free of charge. And then we hand deliver them to babies in need. Now, way more beautifully said than done. It's hard to get people to send back the clothes, which is why we're really trying to pivot into more of like this subscription-based model or like really add other things to the business to make it easier. Because what I've learned is moms, if they're on the first, they think they're going to have a second. So they want to save the cozy sweats for the second.
Right.
That was like literally my first thought. That was my first thought was like, wait, I'm probably going to save it for the second.
Totally. Or hand-me-downs. But to us, like giving back can mean so many things, right? It could mean giving it to your sister, to your thing. And so all of that is really special, but that's what got it off the ground. And that's why it started initially is it started to get some loyal customers that were like, wait, I want to be as cool as my baby. I want to wear these sweats. I want to match with my baby. And I was like, ding, ding, ding. Like now I can actually adhere to a whole other market. That's my market too, because I'm not a mom yet. And like, this is so hard. And like, who doesn't want to be like a big cozy adult baby? Like all the babies.
Always in pursuit of being a big cozy adult baby. Like,
right. That's just the energy.
Yeah.
And I mean, the metaphor is really cozy. And then suddenly the day I approved my samples and then the day I got everything was like a month later. And that was the day COVID hit. Like that was like the day lockdown hit, like March 17th. I'll never forget that date because I was like moving. We were moving to San Francisco because my then boyfriend, now fiance, got a new job, but like everything was so uncertain. And we were like, what are we doing here? And literally that's when my business just went from like kind of this whatever cute organic brand, like selling out of all the sweats, like matching sweatpants forever, the year of the sweat. Da, 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 da. And that's kind of what got us on the map.
Wow. That's talk about fucking great timing. That is impeccable timing.
Crazy, right?
I have a question about the very, very beginning of your journey, because you said that you turned down a really big job to work retail. And I think that that decision is not a decision that most people take. One, out of fear for, you know, reliable income, or out of fear of their career trajectory or their future success, et cetera. It's very difficult for someone to turn down an official job in pursuit of entrepreneurship. And then it takes a different type of entrepreneur to be willing to work retail in order to build the business. Was that something, because I feel like sometimes our inherent decisions that we make are just very inherently to us. And it wasn't like this act of courage. It was just an obvious thing for us that other people can then admire. When you turned down that Sweetgreen job and decided to work retail in order to start your business, was it something you had to mull over? Was it an immediate gut reaction? Was it something you had fear about? Tell us about that decision-making process.
Great question. No, actually, I felt really strong in that decision. So I actually really strategically chose Glossier because I was so inspired by the retail. It was my first retail job, actually. But they were very, like, they were the first of their kind, and their customer service was at a whole nother level. And I was like, how can I get myself in the door of like one of these top new companies so that I can learn from these companies and bring into what I'm learning to the business I'm starting? So I worked part-time and I was on the floor. They call them offline editors, interacting with all sorts of customers, dealing with angry customers, dealing with happy customers, like speaking French to customers. Like, it was just all these things. And in fact, I was like, this is a great way to also, I mean, it's probably like not a good thing to admit, but to also like bring in customers. Yeah. Like, there would be pregnant moms who ended up, their kids ended up being our models, like our first model. Like, things where I would just connect with these moms and you feel it out. Like, yeah, you know if it's totally appropriate. But I truly was so inspired by the way that Glossier did everything that I was like, I think this could be a real learning moment for me. And it was. And that's why I was lucky enough to get my foot in the door through that. And that was like a really coveted job at the time. So also, I never felt like it was like, you know, I didn't feel excited about social media. I was like, I don't want to accept this social media job when I think that I can like really do something with this business. And originally, I actually, after declining the job, I ended up going on a month and a half long application process to be Sophia Maruso's executive assistant. And I made it to the final round, didn't end up getting it. And then they came back to me later to try to like be just a normal assistant. But I was like, oh no, I want to like shadow Sophia and learn from that. So every decision was kind of truly calculated. Like, I worked my ass off to try to figure out what would benefit the business. And it was hard. I was actually really struggling financially because, you know, I was working part-time at Glossier. So I would wake up at 5 a.m. and I would babysit before my shift at Glossier for like 2-3 hours. Then I would have my part-time shift at Glossier and then I would babysit after Glossier, or I would do like, I would help my parents with, like, I would just try to get everything I could to make ends meet. So it was like actually a really hard time to also be developing my business on top of it. But then I just figured it out. I had some stocks that I sold, and then that's how I started.
Wow. Wait, you had stocks, or like your parents had put stock, like had bought stocks a while ago?
So at USC, actually, and like, I swear, I thank like this one professor for this class because of what happened. So it was sophomore year. I was in an entrepreneurship class that you had to like apply to get into with the old founder of FedEx. Why am I forgetting his name?
Okay.
Anyway, super successful guy. Mm-hmm. And the first day of class, he looks at everyone and he goes, mark my words, Square is the stock that we all need to get. Call your parents, tell everyone, invest in Square. At the time, it was $12. So I called up my grandfather because I know he's all into stocks and like he like knows how to work portfolios, whatever. And I was like, apparently Square is the thing to invest in. And it just popped off. And so I was able to just take some Square, grab 10 grand to start my business. And that's literally how we did it. All thanks to that professor.
That is so incredible. And like that story specifically about how you worked all those jobs. It wasn't like the big fancy career job, salary job, et cetera, and started your business is literally the reason why your business is successful today. Because like, there's no way you can't get through anything if you were that committed in that capacity.
I agree. I mean, it's like, you have to work so hard, and I still do it every day. Like when we started kind of popping off, I was in San Francisco and I couldn't afford to ship the clothes. So I would be driving back and forth like peak pandemic. And then I was packing orders until 4 a.m. because I was all alone. And now I'm like, and then I hired a team and then I grew. And now I'm like back to being all alone. And I'm back to just being a crazy mess, figuring it out. And like, what's the next step? But it's the most exciting, exhilarating, fail a million times, get yourself back up journey. Like, I can't say, I just think like, some people are just so driven by that energy. And since I was a little girl, luckily my parents were always of the energy of like, they would never shut down my ideas. Like, I ran to my mom at 6, 7, 8 with a new idea every time. I was like, I want to start a beauty bus. I want to start a writing workshop. I literally had all these ideas that ended up becoming things today, which is so cool. But not for me, from other people. But I like had ideas.
You're like, I had that idea first, actually.
Yeah, that was my idea at 6. No. But like my mom was so sweet and she was like, oh, like, let's buy you a little business plan. So I had like that OG baby iBook Mac or whatever. And I would like pretend to make business plans, which is so funny because I'm so not a business plan person. Like I have no business plan for all the babies. I don't even know what I'm doing. But they always believed in me. And I always had this spirit of like, let's make it happen one way or another. And then here I am. We're about to celebrate 3 years.
Oh my gosh. Just to let you know what's about to happen with me, I need to switch positions because my belly is fucked. So you keep talking, Maddie. I'm going to mute myself because this is not great for me and my back at this moment.
Okay. All right. Ask.
Can we just use that visual for the post? Like, that's the visual. Oh, you're about to pop, Scout.
Like, yeah, she's like a month. She's like a month away. Oh, my God, Scout. Okay. Alyssa, our intern, you please, you must crop this for TikTok.
Scout. I'm going to steal the clip for Mother's Day. And I'm like, moms can do it all.
Moms podcast at 8 months pregnant.
It's like, better. Thanks, guys. Thanks for the encouragement while I was, I really felt Scout, supported Scout, and Scout, motivated Scout. And really like I was winning.
Yeah, you're really, wow. That, yeah, you are about to pop. We're nearing the end. We're nearing the end. Thank God. Okay, I want to talk about mindsets because something as you're, you know, talking through your entrepreneurial journey, both Scout and I are also entrepreneurs, have our own businesses, and something that I've been kind of struggling with and now coming into is the thought patterns and the way we speak to ourselves and the mindsets that there's just so much mental things to learn when you're an entrepreneur. And honestly, people have always said, you know, I hit my 1 year full time at Camber and people have, you know, asked like, what, you know, what did you learn? Or like, what was the hardest part? And honestly, the hardest part was the emotional and the mental part. Like, of course, building the business and like not knowing things and just fucking figuring it out. Like, yes, it was difficult, but it was the mental, like that was really the hurdle I had to get over in order to sustain it, really. Like I could have probably given up if I didn't like really push myself to learn those new like mental patterns. So I want to hear about maybe some rituals or things you do or how you're able to sustain that energy of like, oh my God, I just want to create, I want to do it. How do you sustain that? Because I can imagine that could also burn out really quick.
Oh my God, 100%. I think a big thing is to allow yourself grace when you don't feel like you're ready to make things happen that day. Mm. And to also know that it's just a moment. Like I've had plenty of days where I wake up and I'm like, I'm so unproductive. I feel really discouraged. And like, and it's also how you start your day, right? Like I would start those days where I would go on my business checking account and it would be like super low. And I was like, fuck this. Like, I don't know how to keep going. I don't know what I'm doing. You have to take all that off, but also give yourself grace and know that that's a totally normal part of the process. Like it's like a normal employee at a job. They're not going to love every day. I think like for me, the best advice that my dad ever gave me, which has like really helped me just stay grounded, is to stay in rest. That's what he calls it. And it's like to truly just trust, like to not overdo, to not like, and to really trust your gut. I know it's so cliche and it's always happening, but for me, every moment that's honestly gone bad for the business is a moment where I like knew in my gut that I was making the wrong decision or I was like bringing on the wrong person or whatever it was. And then it hits you and you're like, oh. I think for me, I handle failure really quickly. So like I'm able to acknowledge and learn fast. So I think that's a big thing to be like there's no ego for me. It's like, oh, I totally messed up. I did the wrong thing. On to the next. How can we make it better? But a big thing that helps for sure, which is so silly and it's what I've gotten all of our ideas, is in the shower. I don't know why. It's like find that quiet time for you. That works. Some people it's journaling. Some people it's just like sitting, having coffee, going for a walk. For me, it's driving in silence or being in the shower in silence. I don't know what that does to my mind, but it just like keeps everything so clear. And I also think, I mean, like, I'm really bad at routine, actually. I'm trying to get really better at it.
Yeah.
But I got a Peloton for Christmas, and ever since, I've never been clearer and more productive. I wake up, I do my 30-minute Peloton after I have my coffee and like my quiet time, and then I'm like, oh, now I can know what I'm going to do today. And it really helps me stay clear, motivated, gets those endorphins up. It's like, oh, I'm on it. And I also think comparison is a big thing that helps my mindset stay sane. It's like, I'm looking at these brands that literally started 2 months ago that have more followers than me, more money, more everything. And I'm like, oh, it's okay. This is my journey. Like, nobody else is going to hand pack my packages the way I hand pack them, or like choose these color names the way I choose these color names. Like, that's unique to me and my business and the connections I'm making with you two, and like the stories that we're telling together. And I think if all entrepreneurs just stay in their lane, sure, get inspiration from other brands, but that's a huge one for me, because otherwise the negative self-talk is like on 100. Did I answer that question?
Yes. And it was so beautiful. And it's exactly the things that we have been chatting about these past couple episodes. Is I definitely fall into the comparison trap. I always have. And something that, like, my mantra for the last couple weeks has been like, stay in your lane. And it's like, we've heard that fucking phrase millions of times, but something about it had sunk into me, because I was taking all of these opinions and advice as fact. And I was like, wait, like, I don't need to take this. Like, I don't need you. Of course, like, you're a mentor, you're an advisor. Like, I respect and what you're saying, and you probably have been in the situation, you know, trying to help me navigate it. But at the end of the day, like, you just need to like get quiet with yourself and be like, okay, this is, what do I want to do? I don't know. Yeah. I know the business more than anyone else does, right? And so I've just been really toying with that idea of also going at my own pace. Like, it doesn't have to be.
That's what being in rest is. It's like, do.
Exactly. Exactly.
And don't cater to anybody else, because then you are really going to burn out.
And exactly.
Like, and also, if you do burn out, it's okay to have a reality TV day or a bath day. Like, I need that too. I like really do need that shit. I'm like, I need to put on the Real Housewives. I need to do a face mask. And I need to like be okay with being lazy, and then I can wake up tomorrow and be refreshed. Like, that's also the fun of being an entrepreneur. You set your own schedule.
But that's exactly, and I think I forget that a lot, because I was so in like a 9-to-5 mold for quite a bit. And I forget, like, oh, I chose this so that I could do it my own way. I think there's like, you forget about that a little bit when you choose your own path.
Also, this is going to sound like potentially egotistical and not like a great coping strategy or mechanism at all, but
go ahead.
I think that we look way too much at the people ahead of us, and we don't realize how ahead we are of so many people and how we will always be somewhere in that middle. I think one of the things that I'm realizing why I perhaps have not struggled as much with comparison in my entrepreneurial career, or like, you know, if I'm a human, it happens, but it's not something that I feel like I actively have to like really work on necessarily, is because I really internalize that saying, there's always going to be someone better off than you, and there's always going to be someone worse off than you. And so I've always put me in the middle of those two things, and I've known that I've never been able to escape that middle. And so, sure, there's like a lot of people that are ahead of me, but there's also a lot of people behind me too. And there's also a lot of people who want to do the things that I'm doing and haven't done it yet. And so focusing, it's not that like you're better than those people or you have to egotistically, you know, pride yourself in that, but to give yourself a little bit of credit of how far you've come, because there's way more people behind you than there are people in front of you. I can 100%. Guarantee you that, but you're looking at the small piece of the pie. Like, what if you said, look at how far I've come based upon how much other people want to in their lives? And it's not, again, to be better than someone or to shame at someone else's path by any means. But if you're going to compare yourself to one side, compare yourself to the other real quick too.
Yeah. I don't think that was egotistical at all. That's something that I think is so important to remember, because yeah, we don't sit and revel in what we have accomplished, because I think there's like a complacency aspect. I think people think, oh, if I'm grateful or I feel like I've accomplished everything now, then I'm going to be complacent, where that's completely not true, right? You could be ambitious and have goals, but also be so proud of yourself in that moment. They're not mutually exclusive.
But I also like I remember one time Mads called me crying, and I was like, Mads, somewhere else, maybe not at this specific exact second, but within the last couple months or within the next couple months, another sister is calling another sister crying because Maddie has this and Maddie has that and Maddie has this in their career, and they're comparing their entrepreneurial career to yours the same way you're crying and comparing yours to some other girls. And I was like, so we have to remember, it's like this web that we're all in.
Yeah.
Okay, sis. I see you. Okay, sis.
That's the podcast. Bam. Okay, let's ask our last question before we let you go, Jenny.
Okay, because I'm a
scatola.
I'm a hunchback of Notre Dame right now. Like, my back is not doing so hot.
Okay, we need to get you like, what's going on over there?
It hurts too much to sit up straight. So if I put my legs down like this and hunch over and put the belly between my legs, it gives me some relief.
Oh my God. Okay. We're nearing the end, Scout.
Okay. Every woman that we bring on to OKSIS podcast, we ask them this one final question. If you could brag about one thing in your life, personal or business, and you can't be humble, what would you brag about?
Oh my God, you guys, I hate bragging. Oh my gosh. I would brag about the fact that so many people talk about things and never do them, but I did it and I'm still doing it. Fucking did it.
Amen.
You did the thing.
And that's the hardest part.
Execution is so much more, in my opinion, valuable and honorable than everyone has $1 million ideas all the time. Every single person on this planet. Execution is what sets you apart. So you should be very fucking proud.
You guys too. I'm having so much fun. Like, what the heck? Why does it have to end? Come to me now.
Well, now that like we're friends, I will be DMing you to be like, okay, this is like my mood board for this. We need the curtain bangs for this. Like, we're gonna cultivate the Jenny vibe over here.
And then we're gonna have a photo shoot in all of our matching suits. It's gonna be so cute.
Yes, are we into the tie-dye? Because if not, I have other colors coming back in the next 2 weeks. If you guys wanna wait, it's like whatever you want. I'll send you all the goodies.
Can we be in a campaign? I feel like we're gonna be in a campaign. Like, I feel like you, me, and the baby are the next campaign. Like, I'm just throwing it out there.
Let's do all the campaigns, all the collabs. There's only good things to
Yeah, make. We're gonna get I'm a really good, oh my God, we should go to Tom's, Matt. With the baby in the matching suit and get an incredible.
Oh, Tom's. Oh, Jenny, do you know about Tom's, the photo, 1 hour photo lab in Koreatown or near Koreatown?
Okay.
Wait, no.
We're going to DM you. We'll DM you photos.
You're going to fucking die. You're going to die. I'll send it to you. It's like this. I mean, we've recounted it on the pod, but it's this man named Tom and he has this one man operation, and it became popular because of Kacey Musgraves. She just randomly went into this, like, it's very strange.
It's like Glamour Shots vibe.
Yeah. And it is. And so she like made this popular. And now Tom is like, goes to Revolve parties. Like, he is famous now. And it's like this like Asian, like old man that just like takes, it is so iconic. We'll send it to you. But yes, we should do a photo shoot in that for sure.
We'll do it.
Okay. It's done.
I can't wait for these photos. I'm stoked.
Yes. Yes.
Well, we love you. You are beyond a delight. Beyond. And tell everyone where they can find you and everything.
Yeah.
Yes. You can find me on my personal Instagram at Drew Garabedian. That's DrewGarabedian. Probably going to change in a year after I'm married.
Ooh, yes.
And then please come support, follow the brand at All The Babies Co. Babies, B-A-B-I-E-S, and our website, www.allthebabies.co. We're still in the last week of our biggest sale, but probably when this comes out, it's like the sale is going to be over.
Okay. So don't listen to that.
Come shop all of our new things. But we also have a podcast as well, which we need to talk separately to have you guys on.
Yes.
It's Porch Time Podcast, where we chat with moms-to-be, entrepreneurs. We have all those conversations. So
perfect.
And we're here recording live at our office in Burbank. So I would love to have both of you come join. I know you're about to pop. So
next time Scout's in LA, we'll do it.
Hold on. Let's wrap this baby up and talk logistics off mic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sisters, right. We're just going to keep talking. Okay. Sisters, you can follow us at OKSIS Podcast, and we love you. Woo-hoo.
We love you.
Do you ever feel like you're struggling through motherhood? You're not alone. I'm Erica Jossa, host of the MomWell podcast, therapist and mom of three. Join me each Wednesday as I sit down with guests, including psychologists, pediatricians, psychiatrists, fertility specialists, lactation consultants, and more to unravel the myths of motherhood. With expert advice, practical tips, self-love, and some coping skills to help you along the way, you can become the mother you want to be. Listen to the MomWell podcast at momwell.com/listen or on your favorite podcast platform.